Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer. If you're just joining us, this hour we are listening to a panel discussion put together by the UC2 initiative at IPFW. The topic is multinational manufacturing, mapping the world in Allen County. The panelists are Lynn Q, David Calderon, and Fernando Zappari. Moderator Steve Butes will pose the next question in a moment, and Lynn Q will be the first to answer.
All of you have had, have come to Fort Wayne at different moments in its history, and you've talked a little bit about both the reasons why you've ended up in Fort Wayne and how great it is living here. But I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your experiences with language in the context of work. And so before the panel, Lynn and I were talking a little bit about this. And so I wonder if you could just sort of spend a little time talking about the role of language and your experience with English and its relationship here in the community.
Start with me?
Yes.
Okay. My language is my parents speak Mon, so my first language is Mon. Second language, of course, we live in Thailand, so I went to school in Thai. And the third language, because of, I run with my dad, so I know Burmese. When I came here, it's like no English at all, like zero. My ex-husband, he had a little bit of educate. It's about speaking English because of, his job working in UN. So he was my interpreter for anything I need. So how I learned my language is like crazy. I learned crazy. Believe it or not, I failed my first job interview because of that. I used to work in the, bakery store, where a bakery shop in Thailand. So, of course, I told them about my work experience. And one of the questions he asked me was, how many bread you make for one day when you work there? Guess what I answered? I make bread, I said. So I failed the interview. So it's completely, opposite than what they wanted to know. Then I decided to go to Anthis Career Center. That's an ESL class. And after a couple months, I attended to ESL class. I heard about Avira Bradley, so I applied for that job. I passed the interview. Yay! So, yeah, since 2009, I started working there until January of 2018.
Well, I went to the college in El Salvador to take some English classes. I have an hour every day, and because I passed all the tests, I understand that I was learning good English. But it's not the same when you have to practice with our friends, because between us, we're laughing about the way we speak, so I didn't practice my English. But when I came to the United States, my first experience with my English was in California. It was with a Latin lady. So I came to Fort Wayne and I started, but my English was. Now it's a little better, but I had the same experience. I went to a job. In my career once I have a beautiful experience in a radio station, because I say, even with my English, I want to try to talk with this guy, and I want to see if I can do some in English. I went to all these 101, and I speak with the manager. But when I fill up the application, I fail, because there is a question that I didn't understand right, but I say no. And they were asking me if I was legally to work in the United States. And I say no. And they don't call me. Because my friend told me, well, I like you very much, man. And I think what you're looking for, I understand you. But even if I can allow you to do some in Spanish here in this radio, because we have already a program. But I want you to in the board at midnight. What's a nice shift between midnight and 5 in the morning, just in the operator board. I lie, playing music. But I failed. Say, I'm sorry, because you, even if I lied to you, you are no legal. I'm legal in the United States. I say, well, yeah, but you say no.
I had no desire to come to the U.S. I'm the 7 or 10 in my family. I got 7 brothers and 2 sisters, and I'm the only one that came, that immigrated here. So when I first arrived here, my English was horrible. I mean, nothing, zero. And every once in a great while, back in the 70s, 80s, you didn't see many Hispanic Latino people here. So every once in a while, you hear someone speaking Spanish at the mall. The mall used to be Southtown Mall, or you got all happy and things like that. But and then I start working as a baker in a bakery at Fort Myers Restaurant, and they hire me there. I did not say that I was legal or undocumented. I remember they asked me if I knew how to cook, and I just needed a job, and I said yes. So they put me on the breakfast. And these guys, they were good. I mean, they would just flip the eggs like that, and boom, and I tried doing the same, and yeah, so that didn't work, and so they sent me into the bakery. And I remember, because of my English, they would tell me, they teach me, they were very passionate, but they teach me how to do these donuts, and I used to get burned all the time more than anything, and I used to burn a lot of pies and cakes and everything. But I remember they used to tell me stuff, and I just wanted a job. I wanted to work. So I started running, and I grabbed a mop and a bucket and started mopping the floors and tried to do something. I mean, I wanted to keep my job. Finally, I decided, like Lynn say, I took classes to an Antis Career Center, and that was way back then too. And they had another center that's called Benito Juarez. I remember I took some classes there. Not too many classes. I didn't last it very long. But mainly how I learned my English was I find out that the ones that did not laugh when I speak my broken English was the little kids. Oh, my goodness, I could just chat and talk to them. And they teach, no, you don't say it like that. Oh, so that's how I learned English, with the little ones. The little ones are the best teachers in the world, and they do not make fun of you, and if they do, they're not mean-spirited. And I'm still learning English. Yeah, I love reading. So my biggest, I say, well, I had to, ever since we grew up, we were avid newspaper readers. We had to, newspaper was there, and it was 10 of us, my dad and my mother, and so the first thing we got in the morning, everybody went to the newspaper. So when I get here, there's no newspaper to read except the Journal Gazette. So I say, well, I'm going to, and that's how the kids and the Journal Gazette were my best mentors to learn how to read and understand and comprehend English. Yes.
That's actually a really great transition, and thanks to all three of you for sharing those experiences. To talking about how each of you were connected with your first job in manufacturing. So newspapers are one of the ways that those connections happen. But I wonder if and maybe we can start with David, who you began talking about your job working with the fiberglass company. So I wonder if you can sort of share a little bit about how you got connected with that position, and then we'll come to Lynn, and then we'll head back down to Fernando.
Well, I came ready to war in wherever, even if I war in my country in a radio station, just because I moved to the United States to provide my family. At that time, I have 2 daughters only, to provide a better future, a future that I can have in my country. I came ready to do whatever, to provide, to put some on the table. And I'm start looking, basically, with the first big contact we have. I start with my sister looking on the temporary. And the temporary, the only they offered me at that time was that job in fiberglass, plastic composite, something like that. $6.35. It's okay. So far, it's 45 minutes almost in car, because even if they call North Clinton, some people say, that's not North Clinton. It's liar. That's Leo Road. So I start working there. And they have at that time just one shift, first shift, 7 in the morning, no overtime sometimes, but I did through temporary. They suppose had gonna pay me more if the company hired me directly. But even if I never worked hard in a factory, I was good worker, because I don't understand when my friend Arturo Lopez from Guadalajara called me, hey Dave, Jerry wants to talk to you tomorrow. Okay, I'm gonna translate for you. Okay, you don't work anymore for temporary solution. You work for factory, you work for this factory. And that was just about 30 days later that I start. Was nice, because I have one more dollar now. But I started looking, trying to see, hey, I hear people, they make $10, I can make $10. Like, and I started looking with my friends and church, and someone can help me to get in another place. And I don't know if I'm going too fast, but then I start looking exactly in the Fort Wayne Foundry, and the most hard they have at that time, the Pontiac division, making parts for car, aluminum. I don't know, even if I was poor in my country, I never had to work, because if we were poor, we thinking all the time to provide our kids something better. Then my father was that kind of people, say, I don't want my son working hard and cleaning the city, cleaning the nasty everywhere. So go to the school, study, get better in the school. The money, how hard it is, that's why I went. But I never worked hard. So as I told you, I went to the school, then to the college, we went to the war, I went to the exile. But I get contacted with the radio station when I was 16 years, so I went to the school, but I can go to DJ 3 hours on the radio and make some good money. Here, people don't make good money working radio. In my country, at that time, I made about $1 per hour at that time. 1976, $1 was good money for a 16 year old like me, going to the high school and working 3 hours in a radio station. That was good money. $15 a week was good money. But so I grow. I went to the exile, go back to my country, and I work in a radio station because I have experience. I make good money. But I say, well, I go to the United States to have better for my daughter. I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to work hard. And I start working in a Fort Wayne foundry. And everybody say, you don't want to make it there. You don't want to be there. I say, well, I need to do something better for my daughters. And I get to the Fort Wayne foundry. And deeply on my, I don't want to be there. When I saw those big furnaces with, I don't know, 30-some degrees, 1,300 grados.
Yeah, 1,300 degrees.
1,300 degrees, melting. This is going to be, this is a kind of hell. But I start working. More than me, my wife suffering the first 2 years, because I have nightmare at night. I want to cry. I want to quit sometimes. And sometimes there are some people, some better people to work. I was attempt sometimes when my friend told me, hey, you don't want to grind? I do for you, man. You give me $10 for the 4 hours? $10 sounds good. I don't want that. But I said, I don't want to pay $10 every day this guy because he's going to grind or go knock it out of the park. So I said, well, I've been in worse places in my country, in the world, so, and I've been there because I wanted. I wanted to be here because I need something better for my family. I'm going to make it. And finally, I worked 10 years in Fort Wayne Foundry, but in the big crisis, 2008, they went out of business. I lost my job, and I went a little bit to the college, and then I had to go to the warehouse, Kroger warehouse, forklift driver, making now $6 less than the foundry. And now I'm in Brunswick.
So you worked 10 years at the Fort Wayne Foundry, and that is about how long Lynn worked at here at Bradley.
Yes.
And we're going to follow up with some additional questions about what that work was like at the Foundry. But Lynn, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how you found the job at Vera Bradley and maybe some of the things that you did while you worked there.
Right. Okay. I found a job at Vera Bradley by friends. So many of Asian people, they work in the Vera Bradley, the one at Adam Center's Road, yeah, the one at New Haven. So if you have a sewing skill, it will be the best place to work. You know, first of all, the benefit and everything, and that's where I started. Telling you, my English was not that well, so. Of course, I passed interview, but my intentions, like, I was a single mom at that time. Well, we got divorced at 2010, so no, I was not divorced yet. Over 2009, I started working there, so I learned English and I worked in the same time. So I start working in the second shift. We don't work until like 3:30. So first I go to school in the morning from 11. Oh no, from 8 a.m. till 11 and end this school. And come home and, you know, take a little nap and get ready to go to work. I've been doing that for, I don't know, 6 months. And I look at my skill. One of my talent is I learn fast. I learn really fast. So I feel like, I think I can get into the college, you know, somewhere. So I decided to register at the Ivy Tech. So I registered. I wanted to start from the beginning, so they put me in the ESL. But, you know, it's different than NDS, of course, because the ESL is, you know, you get ready to go to college. So, unfortunately, I was going to be going in the class on the spring of 2011. And my son, Hong, we found out that he had cancer at the spring, the same time. So that's when my dream went down. When one of your kids have that kind of, you know, health issue, you just feel like, I was 29, but you just feel like, no, you're not going to want anything for yourself anymore. I dropped everything. So I focus on my son's health. And that time I already divorced. So as a single mom, I did pretty much everything that I supposed to do. I didn't have a car. But, you know, my son had Medicaid from the government, so they provide transportation. 3 weeks in Riley Hospital, and they did all the surgery, and they found out this is cancer, so you have to start the treatment, chemotherapy. So they transfer us to the Lutheran Hospital. Then we start chemo, work, school, and my son's health issue. You see, so I think I have to drop one, the ESL class. I have to do that. So I only work. They moved me from second shift. My boss, Teresa, she was really nice. She moved me to the first shift so I can be with my son at night. So Vera Bradley is really a place that they understand you. And the second of all, that place is they respect the culture thing. Actually, we have a culture celebration every month. Yeah, like so many languages, so many different nationality. So we're going to have Asian party this month, and we're going to have Spanish party next month. You know what I mean? 2015, unfortunately, they closed down that plan. But we still have one at the, 69 highway across from the GM. So they transfer us there. Of course, they're going to buy us out. But I didn't take the packet. I said I need a job, so I went to work there. But over there, we only have one shift available, was third shift. So I start working third shift in the shipping. I was a shipping clerk. You know, they do so much things that are interesting. You don't have to work in one place, one spot every day. They keep moving you. You might work in the walk back, they call, like you read the number of the item and the color number and style number, and then you just have to walk, get it, and put it in the box. That's why we call walk back. And then there's a called pick mod. We pick stuff and put it in the box. But my department called key account. That key account, we make orders from so many different stores. One of the largest project we had, it's Macy's, Dillard's, and Amazon. We make order to, right now we even do TJ Maxx. Yeah, so many different projects. I love what I do, But, and of course I help people in there about the language. Because of I gain my English, and they are Burmese people, Thai, whoever that language that I can speak. If they have the need that they need to talk to the boss about anything, and they could understand the boss, but the boss could not understand them sometimes, so they would ask me for help. So I've been helping them since I speak English. So. I'm doing that already, one of my friend, close friend Roxy, she said, Auntie, you need to do something for yourself. You speak so many languages, and you help people in school, so at work. So I think I should introduce you to my boss. So I said, that's a great idea. I don't have any, proof of education, I don't have a degree. She said, oh, that's okay. So she introduced me to Raquel. That's my boss right there. And yes, she started to ask me to do the school thing, parent-teacher conferences. And I did. And then thank you to the LSN. They put me in the class of a medical interpreter. And I went to the class for 65 hours. Yeah, 65 hours. And I have got a medical interpreter certification. Yes, that's really great. So I was thinking, if I keep going with the manufacturing and interpretation, I would be really tired, and I won't have time for my kids. It's not that I don't like my job. I love Vera Bradley. I really love it. I gained until the 13 an hour. Come on. I started like, $8 since back in 2009. So, but I have to say goodbye to one of the job, and I love doing interpretation, so I quit Vera Bradley. My partner wanted to take me to Thailand to visit my family. So after we went on a vacation, when I came back, so I quit that manufacturing job.
Thank you so much.
The conversation will continue in a moment on WBOI Presents. Stay tuned.